le lisible dans l'illisible, the readable in the unreadable. François Stark Mornington is speaking with Saiki Takao. Good morning, Saiki Takao.
Bonjour.
In the context of the follow-up of the symposium entitled Teenagers in Social Withdrawal, otherwise known as Hikikomori, Cross Experiences France-Japan. You were at the screening of Tobira Nomuko at Paris Descartes University yesterday, the 21st of March. Saiki Takao, you are the executive producer, and Lawrence Trush is a filmmaker. For you both, it seems to be a special experience. It is the first film which Lawrence has directed, and it is the first time you are an executive producer for a feature film. A lot of questions are being asked. Usually work on commercials. Why did you decide to work on a different type of film? Why did you produce this film?
Well, I always interested in making a feature film, although I've been producing many TV commercials for Japan. I mainly produce TV commercial in English spoken countries by hiring directors. They could be American, they could be British. And while I was doing some research for young directors, I met Lawrence in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And he was working at a post-production house as an offline editor, and he showed me his work. They were mainly music videos, you know, which he directed while he was in London.
Yes.
And I found the style of his direction quite unique when I compared to the rest of the young directors I found.
Why unique?
Well, these days, more young directors want to show the music video or TV commercial with many fast cuts. And,
yes.
You know, the style Lawrence had was totally opposite.
Yes, yes.
So that's more poetic and
yes.
More real. So that's why I got interested in his style.
Yes, yes. You think he's quite, he wants to show something about the reality or something else? What do you mean about opposite?
I think most of the directors, especially directors in the United States, because they are working, having the background of Hollywood.
Yes.
So the typical Hollywood film try to show any scene with so much exaggeration.
Yes.
You know, big explosion or car chase or so much blood and lots of violence.
Yes.
Which I don't like. So, and the style Lawrence had was more calm and more peaceful, basically.
Yes. Peaceful, yes, on the surface, I would say. But, you know, I'm going to say it's a show of showing something special, you know, about the object, about the young one, he or she. And he's showing, you know, the object like a cabbage, like a waste object, I mean, like a basket, you know, the basket alone on the furniture or the staircase or the baluster. It's something special. What do you think of these kind of shots?
You mean the shots in the film of Tobira Nomuko?
Yes. You're talking?
Well, those shots, staircases or baskets for younger brother to play with. I think, for example, staircases is the object people, you know, walk up or walk down. And the scene you find the staircase is where all the young boys and girls study to prepare for the entrance exam, which is the cram school.
Yes.
So it's sort of a symbol of your life. You know, it could be you could be going up your life, or you could be going down your life. So that's, you know, one of the example of the interpretation, and audience can explore the imagination by seeing those objects instead of us explaining from 1 to 10, you know?
Yes, yes. René Fiori?
Could you tell us what is your proper idea about hikikomori?
The idea I have toward hikikomori is a huge social issue for Japan. And in Western countries, it's very difficult to find hikikomori, I guess, because when a young boy or a young girl, they rebel, they usually walk away from home and become runaway kids. But since Japan, maybe up until 10 years ago or so, we still had some influence from Confucianism. Confucianism is the one of the ethic and moral came from India, and it came through China and Korea to Japan. But Japan and Korea, especially in Korea these days, they still believes in Confucianism.
Yes.
In Japan, not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. But up until 10 years ago, the parents still believed that was a good ethic and moral to support the family, meaning that children should respect their parents, and parents should take good care of their children. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, one of the big reasons why we have so many hikikomori in Japan. Mm-hmm. And another big reason is that after the, economic, you know, growth,
yes,
after the World War II,
yes,
probably around 1960, 70, one household become smaller, meaning that parents usually have one child or two.
Mm.
So the parents, you know, have more time, especially the mother, because the father in Japan usually far too busy to talk about or take care of the matters about children. So the mother end up being too involved with the children.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to a boy, mother gives too much affection. So affection end up being spoiled.
Mm.
So the mother end up spoiling the boy.
Mm.
And the mother thinks it's very important to take the best care of her son, and the son relies on the mother too much, so that mutual relationship becomes deeper and deeper.
Yes.
That's how hikikomori could be created.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Could you tell the listeners of Radio A about the relationship between the English and the Japanese title which you gave to this film?
Title Left-Handed was the original title Lawrence Lush, the filmmaker, you know, decided.
Yes.
And since it was a Japanese film, we, you know, decided to put a Japanese title. And I came up with the idea of this title, Tobira no Muko. And Tobira no Muko is Tobira. The word of Tobira means the door. And Muko means behind. So the meaning is behind the closed door.
Yes.
So this side of the door is, you know, open world.
Mm.
But behind the door is a dark and closed, lonely world.
Yes, yes. But in English, left-handed is something else.
Right, right.
Yes.
Left-handed is the one of the expression of people who is a little, you know, unusual, you know, a little different from the rest of the people, because most of the people are right-handed, in this world.
What are your key takeaways from the conversations and meetings you've had yesterday at Paris Descartes University?
Well, the discussion we had after the screening was very productive. And, of course, you know, I couldn't understand professors and researchers talking in French.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I have no knowledge in French. But Meyer, the organizer,
yes,
she was able to interpret, you know, most of the conversation into English for me. And all the professors had a good discussion about the condition of, you know, the type of the problem people have in France and the type of the problem we have in Japan. So I think it was a very successful symposium.
Yes. So, as you said before, you are particularly interested in the syndrome of hikikomori. And if so, can you tell us why?
The first time I have known about the hikikomori was in year 2003. The cinematographer of this film, Gary Young, living in London, he saw a BBC documentary about the hikikomori in Japan on TV. So he talked about this documentary film to the filmmaker Lawrence Lush, and Lawrence asked me if I knew about the hikikomori. So I told him that I didn't have any idea, because I used to live in Los Angeles for a while, and it was when a few years after I moved back to Tokyo. That could be one reason. And another reason could be I was not paying enough attention to the social issue. And when Lawrence asked me, I got so interested in hikikomori, because that's the social issue, you know, we have in my country.
Yes.
So I got in touch with the producer at BBC and asked him to send me a copy of the TV program, which he did. He was very kind and nice. And when I saw the video, I was very shocked.
Why?
Of course, it was not very, you know, nicely made. It was pretty rough. The style was a reporter sort of visiting the house of hikikomori and try to, you know, break into the room where hikikomori lives. But obviously, you know, hikikomori doesn't respond to anything. So it was not the type of the documentary I expected, but
yes.
Anyway, it could tell me what hikikomori was. That's why I got interested.
Do you think this film was too real in fact? And it means Tobira no Muko is more like a fiction or documentary for you?
I don't think so. The BBC documentary was not like a documentary film. It was more like a reporter running around, you know.
But your film is more.
Yeah, our film is it's a feature film.
Yes.
And it's not a documentary.
Yes.
But what we did is that we did so much research by spending 2 years from 2003 to 2005.
Yes.
By visiting the social workers and some free schools and asking those people about the hikikomori. And Lawrence ended up combining the maybe the story he heard from parents and social workers. So he put several real story into one scenario. That's how he wrote his script.
Do you consider your film as being political by taking part in this project, which highlights the syndrome of hikikomori? What are you hoping to achieve and why?
Well, I don't think our film is very political or anything like that. And I think our film is very peaceful because there are so many films too violent. So the goal for a film is to have more and more audience who can realize this type of social issue exists in Japan. And since the style of the life we have right now rely on so much telecommunication or internet and that sort of thing, so unfortunately we are losing physical contact or face-to-face type of conversation.
Yes.
And I'm afraid not only in Japan, but also in other countries, there could be more hikikomori type of people.
Yes.
That's why I hope this film will be seen by more people in the world.
Yes. In fact, you are trying to shed light on this syndrome within Japanese society and in the 21st century society, you mean? Because you want to show the social link like an harbinger of our way of living in the 21st century as, you know, a subject alone, in fact, one alone subject.
I don't think it's the problem for 21st century. You know, it could be more problem in the 22nd century, maybe.
I don't know, but you are speaking about virtual social links, you know, the virtual relationship, why I'm asking.
Right. Because by having a virtual relationship with others, you don't have to step out from your house.
Yes, you know? That's why. So perhaps the goal of your film is to show how the social links are becoming, you know, in our century, you know. Like, it's something like a harbinger. Do you think that you will get involved in other feature film projects like that?
Yes. At the moment, I am in the process of, in the production of a documentary film about a high school students turn out to be nurse during the World War II in Okinawa. It's basically a story about a survivor. I interviewed her last August, and she's already 86. So I thought I had to hurry up because not much time left.
Yes.
And I'll be shooting back in Okinawa in April again, because those survivors have a meeting once every month. So I'm going to interview the rest of the survivors because it's such an incredible story that 555 high school girls forced to be nurse in the Okinawa battle, and 194 girls died. So it's so, you know, difficult to believe in the society we live in Japan now. But unless we have to be very careful about what's going on, this sort of thing could happen again, I'm afraid. That's why I think it's very important to make a documentary film on this subject.
Mm-hmm. It is what's most interesting for you about these two feature film is about what? About the society?
Any documentary film or any feature film could be interesting to me. As long as the film could give good influence to the people to talk about or for people to realize what sort of problem we have during the course of our life.
René Fiori,
I know that the school of documentary and the school of fiction are different for us, for a producer, but when we now, today, I have the idea that the frontier, the limit between documentary and fiction is very thin. Because if the scenario is well done, it produces an effect on the spectator more stark, like a documentary. What is your idea about this?
Well, I agree that the borderline of a documentary film and a feature film these days are very thin. Mm-hmm. And the film I'm making is a combination of some film archives and some interviews, and also I will be inserting some shots which could make people use their imagination. So some suggestive scenes I will include.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Takao.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup.